We will call the Public Utilities Commission meeting to order. It is May 10th, 9:30 a.m. in the state capitol. This is Chairman Nelson. I have with me Commissioners Feagin and Hansen. Before we begin with the agenda items, I have an item left over from the last meeting. We have a staff person that has been with state government for 15 years by the name of Patrick Stephenson. He is one of our sharp crack utility analysts. And I neglected to recognize you 2 weeks ago, my error, but this morning we want to present you with your 15-year pin for your service to the people of the state of South Dakota. Okay. Consumer reports. Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The Commission received a total of 48 contacts since the last report was prepared for the April 27th, 2016 Commission meeting. Four of the contacts involved telecommunication service. 16 of the contacts involved electric service. One contact was related to gas and electric service. Five contacts related to wireless service. 11 contacts related to the Do Not Call Registry. Three contacts related to the Dakota Access Pipeline. And eight contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. We still have two open complaints from 2014, and 467 of the 484 complaints received in 2016 have been resolved.
Questions from the commission? Can I give you a bad time about the leftover two complaints?
No, you cannot. You said you wouldn't at the hearing.
You're correct. Other commissioner questions? If not, Deb, thank you.
Thanks.
With that, we're going to take our agenda in order today, and we'll begin with electric dockets EL 16-005 in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power, Inc., doing business as Black Hills Energy, for approval of a 2016 transmission facility adjustment. Black Hills.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is John Thurber on behalf of Black Hills Power. Also with me is Todd Brink, Associate Counsel, and Jason Kyle, Manager of Regulatory Affairs. On February 16, 2016, Black Hills Power filed its 2016 transmission facility adjustment with a requested effective date of June 1, 2016. The company seeks approval of its proposal for the annual true-up of the actual amounts collected in the second year of the TFA, as approved in docket EL 15-007, and the forecasted recovery of the revenue requirements associated with the third year of the TFA. There were no new transmission projects requested for recovery in this application. The significant change reflected in this filing was a $1 million contribution by Beauty Electric to the Lookout to Sundance Hill rebuild project. The company worked with commission staff to ensure the appropriate monthly revenue or credit was reflected in the TFA rate calculation. The company filed revised exhibits on April 29th, specifically the TFA revenue requirement model, tariffs, and customer notice, with changes requested by commission staff during discovery. The company requests the commission approve the adjustments to the TFA rates, revenue requirement, and tariffs set forth in its April 29th filing. Thank you, and the company is available for questions.
Thank you, John. We'll go to staff. Eric.
Thank you. This is Eric Paulson for staff. This filing provides the true-up for year two costs and sets the revenue requirement for year three. Black Hills Energy has responded to all of staff's data requests, and as noted in the memo, this filing includes updated cost lookout to Sundance Hill, $1 million contribution made by the co-ops, and the utilization of bonus depreciation. Staff recommends approval of the revised TFA rates as filed in the revised exhibits on April 29th with an effective date of June 1st, 2016.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? I have one for Black Hills. In the past, when we've looked at this, I've questioned kind of this sharing arrangement, or I should say the ratio of the sharing arrangement with Butte. And now we see that they've made an additional $1 million capital investment and has gone from being underinvested to being overinvested. Can you tell me why there wasn't an attempt for that capital contribution to be kind of spot on instead of over-investing?
I think Butte Electric is over-invested if you look at just what this one specific line. If you look at the whole entire system, they are still under-invested. When they make a contribution, they make an investment to the entire system, but they only assign it to one project. So this is just an over-investment on this one transmission line, and the actual asset value that you saw, the transmission line, was reduced from approximately $3 million included in the revenue requirement to $2 million, reflecting the $1 million reduction. So, you know, the sharing agreement is strictly based on load ratio share of their system. You know, it's been established by contract, and I think it balances the cost recovery based on how each party is using the system.
Yeah, no, just a follow-up question. So, I mean, if they, let's say they'd wanted to make a $3 million payment instead of a $1 million payment, would Black Hills Power, would you have had any issue regardless of the amount?
You know, I don't believe so. I mean, I'd have to double check in the contract. I know that they're underinvested. It has a function of whether they want to pay a monthly fee to us or if they want to actually own part of their system up to their load ratio share. And I think they have, you know, they still have a fairly sizable monthly fee when you look at the overall system.
Very good, John. I appreciate that. Other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion? Go ahead, Commissioner Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, I move NEL 16-005 that the Commission approve the TFA revenue requirement and rates with an effective date of June 1, 2016.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none.
No discussion other than to commend the staff for finding the challenges in it. It's pretty straightforward docket, but appreciate them finding the issues that they needed to.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to EL 16-006 in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power, Inc., doing business as Black Hills Energy, for approval of its 2016 Environmental Improvement Adjustment. Black Hills.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is John Thurber again. The company seeks approval of its proposal for the annual true-up of actual amounts collected in the Environmental Improvement Adjustment, as approved in docket EL 15008, and the forecasted recovery of the revenue requirements associated with the June 2016 through May 2017 Environmental Improvement Adjustment revenue requirement. In addition to the two environmental improvements approved last year, the company requests recovery associated with four new environmental improvements eligible for recovery under SDCL 4934A97. A description of each project, along with the associated laws or rules that required the project for compliance, were provided in the application. The company filed revised exhibits on April 29, specifically the EIA revenue requirement model and tariffs, with changes requested by Commission staff during discovery. The company requests the Commission approve the adjustments to the EIA rates, revenue requirement, and tariffs set forth in its April 29 filings for rates effective June 1, 2016. Thank you, and the company is available for questions.
Thank you. We'll go to staff.
Thank you. This is Brittany Melhoff for staff. We filed a memo on May 3rd, and I'll simply rely on that and recommend the Commission approve the 2016 EIA, including the associated tariff sheet and revised rates as filed on April 29th, with an effective date of June 1st, 2016. Thank you.
Thank you, and I neglected to mention in the last docket, but appreciate the memos in both of these dockets. Very helpful for us. Questions from the Commission. Commissioner Fegan.
I just have one quick question, just to make sure that I understand this right. On the over-under for Black Hills Energy, on the over-under of $21,000, you divided that among classes. I assume the small general services is higher because of a kilowatt hour usage forecast versus actual. Is that why they have $13,000 of that $21,000?
That's correct, Commissioner Fagan. We keep track of the balance in accounts separately, and it's primarily a function of changes in kilowatt hours compared to the forecast.
Great. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I understood that and the public understood that. Thank you.
Additional questions? Motions?
Mr. Chairman, NEL 16-006, move that the Commission approve the 2016 Environmental Improvement Adjustment, including the associated tariff sheet and revised rates, as filed on April 29, 2016, with an effective date of June 1, 2016.
Discussion on the motion.
Like all the other commissioners have already said, I certainly appreciate the detail the staff have put in the memo and the items that they found out during data request and working with Black Hills Energy. So thank you, and I appreciate your support.
Additional discussion. I think for the public's benefit, it's important to understand that all of the capital investments that are being made under this particular docket are required by environmental regulations. The company really doesn't have a choice in making these expenditures in order to keep their plants operating. Additional discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fagan?
Fagan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to EL 16-013 in the matter of the petition for electrical service by Dakota Plains Ag Center, LLC, to have Northwestern Energy assigned as its electric provider in the service area of Bonham-Yankton Electric Association. Let me just check. Sheila Woodward, have you joined us on the line?
I have, Commissioner.
Excellent. Thank you. The question that we're to deal with today is, shall the Commission establish a procedural schedule, or how shall the Commission proceed? And I'm going to go to staff on this first, since they submitted a filing.
Thank you. This is Kristen Edwards for staff. Over the last couple weeks, I'd been trying to work to put together a procedural schedule, and I'd sent out several emails and didn't get much feedback, so I put out what I filed in the docket yesterday, and hopefully we'll hear from the other parties as to whether or not that works. The main thing I wanted to get from the other parties was I wanted to know from the utilities how long is it going to take to build out so we know when we need to finish this, and from the applicant, when's the startup date, and to work back from there. And I really didn't get any of that information back, so I put together what we had, and I know Leah Moore worked incredibly hard to come up with some dates for a hearing, and that's what you see there, but hopefully we'll get some feedback from the other parties. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Dakota Plains. Mr. Kaneki.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and staff. Brett Kaneki for the applicant, Dakota Plains. I want to say at the outset, I appreciate the work Ms. Edwards has put into this matter. She's been diligent, and I appreciate her efforts quite a bit. The staff schedule that's been put forth is acceptable. June 20th isn't the best date, but we can make it work. The applicant would hope to begin taking grain in this fall. And they have started construction, to the best of my knowledge, as we heard, I think, at the last commission meeting on this matter. They were going to start using generated power as soon as they could. We can make this work, and would hope that if it needs some fine-tuning or adjustments, that those could be minimalized. It's my plan to move the commission for summary judgment, and so it's important to have a date for motions, and hopefully that will tee this matter up and keep it moving forward. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Northwestern, any comment?
This is John Oster from Northwestern. We agree with staff's proposal and with Mr. Kaneki, and we're fine with that schedule.
Thank you. Bonham Yankton.
Thank you, Commissioner. The staff's proposed schedule, we actually don't agree with. As we sit here today, I have seen nothing in this case yet. I have not seen The contract, I have not seen any of the information Northwestern has provided to the staff and to the commission. I'm literally flying blind right now because I have nothing. We've agreed on the parameters of a protective order so that we can start exchanging that information, but I have not seen any of that yet. I have a set of interrogatories that I intend to serve today or tomorrow, requesting a lot of information from Dakota Plains to get that moving. You know, a motions hearing on June 7th, I'm actually not even in the country on June 7th, and that's, you know, that's less than, what is that, 3 weeks, a little bit more than that from today. When I haven't seen any information yet, that's really pushing us, I think, to capacity. I'm not asking for a significant amount of additional time, but I think we need to get information. I need to have it analyzed by the engineers, and I need to be able to be prepared to discuss and address the issues that are going to be raised by Dakota Plains. Our position has always been with Dakota Plains since we first started talking to them over 2 years ago that we do not believe that this is a large load based on information on, you know, other similar grain handling facilities. And so I'm looking for a hearing date in, originally staff had proposed June 28th as a hearing date. Apparently that did not work for Northwestern or Mr. Kenneke. I was not notified of that, but that's what I learned this morning. And I would like to at least move it out to that June 28th date or ideally into the first part of July. Thank you.
Thank you. SDREA.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. I would just say from the outset that we have requested a protective order. We're in the same position as the co-op. We haven't received any of the confidential information. We understand that Mr. Kenneke has one that the client is reviewing, and so hopefully we can get that in place in the next couple of days. But if you look at the deadlines, even if that gives us a couple of days to get a protective order and ask our interrogatories, it's already past the deadline for witnesses and the motion deadline, so it's a pretty tight schedule. From a high level, the 28th date did work on my calendar, or I could make something in the first part of July work.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? I've got four Ms. Edwards. Final date to request depositions, May 30th. That's Memorial Day. Should that be the 31st?
Yes, sorry. I was just going, I think, back chronologically, and I failed to note that.
And final service of discovery, June 4th, I think, is a Saturday. Should that be June 3rd? And then the question is 3 days enough between those two?
Okay, between final service and pre-hearing motion?
No, if final date to request depositions is now on the 31st, final service of discovery.
I would certainly hope people would have their discovery out long before that, and that would be just follow-ups. I can tell you staff has already sent out interrogatories and is already on our second round in some cases. So I would hope people would not wait to that till that date, because if that's not enough time, then they're putting themselves in that position.
And then would there be some anticipation then that we would make a decision at our July 5th meeting?
If the commission needed time to take it under consideration, that would probably be the next...
Well, if we have post-hearing briefs, we'd have to. And if we dispense with post-hearing briefs, you know, maybe we make a decision on the 20th.
Right. So I just threw out the post-hearing briefs tentatively, subject to whether or not the commission actually wanted them.
Very good. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Feagin.
Mr. Kenneke, there were some concerns from the other parties about the timeliness of information. Can you assure the commission that you will respond timely so that they can get to work, I guess?
I can, Commissioner. The confidential information is Northwestern's confidential information. It's appropriate to have the go-ahead from them that they're satisfied with the language of the order. Spoke with counsel for Northwestern earlier this morning, and that's going to get moved forward today. Dakota Plains has had numerous communications with my client, as their counsel indicated, over the last 2 years, so this isn't a new matter to them. They're familiar with that. The information requested that is likely to be relevant is not a lot. This matter isn't tremendously complicated. It's the contract, the plans they've already seen. They're well aware of the maps, and they're well aware of where existing facilities are in proximity to the location already. Those are all things that everybody knows. What we're really talking about is the contract. As soon as Northwestern has blessed the confidentiality agreement, and everybody else has as well, we should be able to move that forward. It's based on a recently drafted confidentiality agreement in the Dakota Access matter, so it's not created from blank slate. It shouldn't be difficult, and I think the contract is probably about the only thing that's going to be exchanged under it. We might have some discovery from the co-ops of a similar nature, but there won't be much. There's really just not a lot out there.
Thank you. So may I ask the same question to Northwestern?
Sure, and this is John Ostra, and Brett did draft up a confidentiality agreement. I will have my comments back, and we expect that out this afternoon. It is, as he mentioned, based on a pre-existing document we've utilized before in the Dakota Access matter.
Thank you. Thank you for your timeliness.
Additional questions? Seeing none, motions. Commissioner Hansen.
I'm concerned about bond homes. June 20th, I'm concerned about whether or not, and her being out of the country or out of the state. I'm just a little reticent on approving it if one of the barristers is having a challenge in participating. Wondering what we can do with the. You say no one came back to you with any discussion on these dates? Excuse me, I'm addressing that to Ms. Edwards.
I did hear back, I think, from Brett, maybe, Mr. Kennedy. Other than that, I didn't get any feedback as to how much time people wanted, so. And I just picked that date because it was a commission meeting in June. So.
Did you have something to respond to? You look compelled to speak.
Yes, thank you. Honestly, the first time that I saw the June 20th date was last night. I didn't realize that was even a date that was under consideration, whether I was not on those correspondence or not. And so when Ms. Edwards asked about the procedural schedule, I think the response that both Sheila and I gave was, well, we need to have a protective order in place so we can see the information, which is going to obviously define the scope of this matter going forward. And so, I mean, I think that is a really difficult date to get everything pushed in a very short time frame.
Mr. Kennedy shared with us that this did not appear to be, excuse me, I wanted to ask you one question. Shared with us that it did not appear that there'd be very much. It does not. This does not look like, from my experience, that there'll be very much to work on. And I'm not a barrister, but do you apparently see some more challenges than what was articulated by? Excuse me, I wanted to call him Commissioner again, Mr. Kennedy.
Mr. Commissioner, or Commissioner Hansen, first of all, we haven't seen the contract, but I think that it's been the co-op's position and SDRE's position that there's a concern whether or not this is a large load. And we believe there's going to be some discovery about similar facilities and those peak loads that will also be part of this process. At least that's something that the co-op's and SDRE will be putting forward.
Isn't that pretty easily surmised, though? It doesn't sound like it'd take a long time just to find that out.
And that's information that we're gathering and working on, yes.
Okay. Mr. Kaneki, did you have something to respond to on that? Or you rose and sat down again. I didn't. I'm struggling with this, the other commissioners. I'm wondering whether we approve everything except for that last date and work on that date from here on, or is that why not? Ms. Edwards smiles at me when I say that as if I'm a new guy here. Brett, go ahead, and then I'll look to Ms. Edwards.
Commissioner, I'm going to Yellowstone the week before this hearing. I'm coming back, and if it's on June 20th, I'll make it work. This isn't a complicated matter. The statute uses the phrase contracted minimum demand. This is about what the contract says. What other facilities use or don't use has no bearing on this matter. It's not relevant, and I'm going to have a relevance objection going forward on that. This is about this facility, not about other facilities, and it's about the contract and not about what any other facility is using. There's a thing called the parole evidence rule, which means you look at the four corners of a contract as the best evidence of what the contract means. I will tell you that I'll probably object to any evidence from an outside source, especially about what the contract means. It's what the four corners of the document say. It's called the parole evidence rule. And so I am sympathetic, and I do want to get the contract in the hands of counsel for the other side. I'd love to do that today. But this is really about what does the contract say? What do the documents say that Northwestern's already filed in the docket, and what's the customer want to do? And we can do that pretty easily and pretty efficiently, in my view. Does it have to be June 20th? I don't know about that. But it needs to be soon. So, thank you,
Mr. Kaneki. I'm familiar with that rule. I appreciate your bringing it to my attention again. Ms. Edwards, did you want to break the tie?
No. Well, after the June 28th date didn't work, I went with June 20th because, frankly, that's the only thing available. However, and Leah's out today, unfortunately. However, if the commission did want to pick a week or 2 weeks that would work for everybody, we could defer this matter, and I could try to go back and find a day within that time frame that would work for the evidentiary hearing.
In your opinion, do you find that this is so complicated that it should require a longer duration?
I don't. But, I mean, I was thinking a one afternoon hearing, frankly.
Okay. Thank you. Then that answers my question for me. Appreciate it. It's an excellent date. It's my anniversary, so it'll work great.
Additional questions? Motions.
Commissioner Hansen, this is Sheila Woodward, or Commissioner Nelson, I'm sorry. Could I please respond?
Yes.
The June 7th date, if Brett Kaneki and Dakota Plains are going to file summary judgment motions, that is the date that is particularly problematic for me. And if we're going to have a summary judgment motion hearing, I would prefer, if we could, due to other issues, to have that hearing on the 20th. If he's going to move for summary judgment, have that hearing on the 20th, and then have an evidentiary hearing if it's necessary at the next commissioner meeting in July. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's fine. I appreciate those comments. Additional questions or motions? I'm going to move to adopt the staff's recommended schedule with the exceptions that the final date to request depositions would be May 31st. Final service of discovery would be June 3rd. And that the issue of whether or not we have post-hearing briefs will remain an open question to be determined by the commissioners at the close of the evidentiary hearing. Discussion on the motion. I do see an urgency in getting this taken care of. I mean, Dakota Plains needs to know who their supplier is going to be, and whoever the supplier is, they need to be about building out the facilities. Ms. Woodward, I know that you've got co-counsel that has worked with you on this docket. They appeared several weeks ago, and so I know that you know, they can handle things if needed on that June 7th date. Additional discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen. Commissioner Hansen passes.
Aye.
Oh, aye. Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. I'm just going to make one other comment. Mr. Kaneke, in that protective order, I'd give you every encouragement to get that wrapped up as soon as possible. If there's any delay in that, I think that throws this whole thing into question. Thank you. That brings us to our last docket, which is the rulemaking docket, RM 16-001, in the matter of the adoption of rules regarding stray electrical current and voltage remediation. The question is, shall the commission make any changes to the proposed rules, and shall the commission adopt the final rules regarding stray voltage or stray current? From our meeting 2 weeks ago, we have a motion on the table. No, I shouldn't say on the table. We have a motion on the floor. I'm not going to repeat it because it was like the world's longest motion, but we all know what it is. And so that the public knows, Commission Counsel has given each of the commissioners a clean copy that incorporates that motion. And so we have that language in front of us. With that, Commissioner Fegan.
Thank you. As you remember, I deferred this docket because I wanted the South Dakota Rural Electric Association and see if they could reach out to their dairy customers about the new formula, because it kind of came late in the whole proceedings that we've worked on. So South Dakota Rural Electric Association, have you reached out to your dairy customers about the new formula? And what is, have you guys came to an agreement or?
Ed Anderson, the South Dakota Rural Electric Association. The answer to your question is yes, we did. I personally reached out to Roger Shivey, my counterpart with South Dakota Dairy Producers. Indicated to him that you indeed had suggested that we do that. I also suggested that he be prepared to answer your question, which I think they are. They're here today. So if there are any specific questions.
So did you agree on the formula?
I simply suggested that he review our proposal and that he be prepared to answer to you today, and to bring whatever suggestions that they may have. So we did not engage in discussions about coming to any type of agreement. I just simply contacted him and said, you need to be in contact with the commission.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment to your amendment.
Go ahead.
In 20-10-39, 57 and 58, move to amend your amendment to
to include the proposed formulas as written by the commission.
Give me just a second.
And it's the two formulas that you amended.
Discussion on the amendment.
Rules take more time than I ever expected, and it takes an incredible amount of time to go through information that we've already heard. So when I reviewed the 2015 docket that we opened, and looking at the formula, Excel proposed changing the formula. And we decided not to accept that change. And then there were attempts actually in the formula to decrease the time from 48 to 24. And the commission once again decided not to accept those changes. At the public hearing, actually, when everybody had the opportunity to testify in front of the commission, no one mentioned changing the formula. And then way at the very, very end, I asked the question of, so you're okay with the formula, or what's the situation? So that was way at the end of the public hearing. We did get a suggestion for change in the formula in April. So then when we asked the questions in the end of April at our commission meeting, South Dakota Rural Electric Association testified that the current proposed formula by the commission would just be another way of measuring stray voltage or current. And until the South Dakota Rural Electric Association can give me evidence that all possible stray voltage along the distribution line that serves other customers can be measured, it's hard for me to accept the change that appeared to us in the beginning of April. There are other farmers on the distribution line. Farmers use motors. Motors create reactive loads that can create additional stray voltage. So it just concerns me that the current formula is testing at a point versus a 48-hour test. And it appears to me the amended formula that South Dakota Rural Electric Association brought to us could actually impact other rules that we have. So I'm suggesting, fellow commissioners, that we go with our proposed rules on the formula that we had talked about in our docket, our 15 docket.
Additional discussion on the amendment. I am prepared to support your amendment, probably for two reasons. First of all, when we came into the hearing or the meeting 2 weeks ago, it was my intention to support the original formula. But all of the testimony that was given that day leaned towards the alternative that the utilities and SDREA had brought to us, every bit of it. And that swayed me at that point. Was I 100% comfortable? No, but that was the testimony that was brought to us. SDREA's representative did acknowledge that the proposed formula would work. Be more complicated, but certainly would work. I think the biggest concern that I've got with moving away from our originally proposed formula is that we have a number of rules that precede this that lay out testing mechanisms to derive values that ultimately go into those formulas. And if we eliminate the formulas, then I have a question of why have we done the test to derive these values if we're not going to run them through a formula? And that's an unanswered question for me. So at this point, I'm inclined to support the amendment. Additional discussion on the amendment. Commissioner Hansen.
I appreciate you taking the time to speak just now, so that gave me the opportunity to
read. Want me to speak longer?
To read through again and see if the, exactly that, what you had stated on your concern. I was going back through all of the other information to make certain that I had was not mistaken on my concern, so appreciate that. I'm planning on supporting the amendment as well.
Additional discussion on the amendment. Hearing none, all those in favor of Commissioner Fegan's amendment will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye on the amended amendment.
And Nelson votes aye. Amendment carries. We are now back to the amended main motion. Additional discussion.
You said the amended main motion. The amendment to the amendment was passed. Now we have your amendment as amended.
My amendment was, I didn't propose an amendment. I proposed a motion that included a lot of changes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
that's right.
It was a main motion.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. So it wasn't an amendment.
All
amendment.
Right. Thank you.
Additional discussion on the amended main motion. Well, let me just say, first of all, thank you for all the parties again for your time and input. As I said 2 weeks ago, I readily acknowledge we may not have gotten this perfect. Time will tell. And I fully anticipate that as this plays out in the field, if there is something here that isn't right, that one party or both parties will come back to us and let us know that, and we will go through a process to take additional testimony and make changes. What I am confident of is the fact that we used an existing set of rules from another state that obviously is working there as our basis. We made some specific changes based on the input from all of the parties. We made some changes based on LRC's comments. And I think that we have got a very good product to start with. And we'll see where it goes from there. And certainly a product that complies with the requirement of statute for us to pull these rules together. Additional discussion. Commissioner Fegan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to reiterate what you already said, we can always open this up again, and we can open up the rules, and if we need to change the formula to make it work better, we can do that. So I certainly appreciate everybody's hard work on this, and we can always open it up if we need to.
Additional discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the amended main motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That concludes our agenda. The only announcement that I've got, the next regularly scheduled meeting is going to be on May 24th, but at a different time. We are going to start at 8:30 in the morning, not 9:30, 8:30 on May 24th. Anything else for the good of the order? Is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.